It's high noon.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 31 of Foul Play. That's Fantasy Overwatch League play. I am Deathblow, joined as always by the Blevins. But Blevins, we are a little shorthanded this week as A. Smith had his baby. Big Woo! Congratulations to A. Smith.
Yes.
A future professional Overwatch League player is officially in the making now. We've already put the mouse and keyboard in his hands. We've done two coaching sessions with the child so far. No, obviously we're kidding. A. Smith is just taking care of his family and getting used to the completely different life he's now about to leave. So
100% different in every possible way life that he is now embarked on for at least the next 18 years.
Yes, at least 18 years. So congratulations to him. We're going to plow through and do our best to get you guys ready for week three of stage two without his hot takes. Unfortunately, Blevins, we have to talk about how we did last week, so we're going to talk a little bit more about A. Smith here in a minute. How'd you do this past week in fans?
I did all right. I wasn't here last week.
We noticed.
As people may have noticed. I definitely updated one of my leagues, and I don't know if I did. I think I just let it ride in another one. But I ended up going 1-1. I believe I got a pretty significant and definitely by a wide margin and not just 7 points victory against you in one of the leagues, which I joke it was a very close game. But also, Fissure almost shadow burned me there by getting me a big fat donut.
We had rough weeks all around. Our point totals were pretty low considering the league average across the board, but crazy close to each other. I know I had a week where I didn't have any flex supports that actually played two games. So, I was playing two of them that were in one gamers, and I have such good flex supports. I just kind of wanted to, grit my teeth and get through the week. And, man, it almost paid off. It was super, super close, but couldn't quite get there. So it was a little rough. I also went 1-1 in the expert leagues. They fell to you. And then I took down Blazin' Eddie in the Podcasters Showdown. Mm-hmm. So I think that's Ednar and Blazin' Bob. I'm not 100% certain on the Eddie. There's a lot of people in that league. But, yeah, I think only Ednar is – I think Ednar is the only Ed or Eddie or anywhere near that.
There's a lot of people in that league.
Yes, there is. It's close to 25 people or something like that because so many of the teams are shared. It's nuts.
Oh, my loss. I won against you, and my loss was, in fact, to Dad Smith, who I think is undefeated as a father right now.
Might be. I can't vouch for how he did in the other expert league, but he did take down you in the Podcasters Showdown. Overall still doing great. I don't think I'm outside the top three in the standings of either of the expert leagues. So things are still going great.
You and A. Smith are both in, I think, the top four or five for sure. Definitely the top four, I think, in both. And I'm right in the middle of the pack. I've had a couple of rough weeks, but I lost a little bit of focus, but I'm honing back in.
I did too. I was at the top of the leaderboard in Unlimited, and then the first week of the stage, I completely forgot it existed and didn't do anything with it. So whoops. Yeah. Nonetheless,
I ended up starting Striker for 2 weeks by accident because I took a bet on him. I took a legitimate bet on him the one week, and then you're welcome.
But let's move on here. We're going to try to plow through the episode if for no other reason than I'm very excited for our meme, Remember the Bellman.
Yes, yes. End.
You don't have the Remember the Bellman drop. That's the one you don't have.
If it's in the folder, I can find it while we're talking.
It certainly should be. So, you keep an eye out for that. If it's not, type in the notes. I'll try to get it over there for you. But we're going to go into the leaders conversation here. And I'll just take the entire support category while you work on that, Blevins. Yep. And the first on the list here is going to be Boombox. He was first overall in combined score with 344.25. He was 194.9, which was second place in best. The number one in best isn't on the list, but it was Bedosin. They only had one game. All the Spitfire players did great. We'll talk about a couple more of them coming up soon. Number two on our list of leaders was Bay. baby. He was 172.88 in both combined and best, which is good for third and best. He had a really strong performance just a player that kind of overperformed where he's usually been in the past. Speaking of which, we have Dogman, who was 271.11 in combined and 165.28 in best. That was good for fourth. So making the most, at least fantasy-wise, of his playtime, even if the results aren't there and they lost to the Valiant. You don't have to care about that in fantasy, thank goodness. Moving on, we've got the DPS category. Blevins, why don't you talk to us about some of these guys here?
Yeah, let's get back. What is this? Season one, we got Bird Ring up at the top here. Second overall, got 188 points in both combined and best. Or he was second in best, rather.
Yes.
Only having played one match that week, I believe.
Yep.
Yeah, unless he just didn't play. He only played one match that week. But second overall in best with 188.31. We've got Baby Bay coming out of the woodwork here, being a real player for the Atlanta Reign. 253.34, which was ninth in combined, and 156.56, which is good for fourth overall in best. And we've also got AKM, 276.93, which is third overall in combined, and 156.12, fifth overall for best. So, really good, some really good performances from some players we may not have been seeing so much relatively recently.
Yeah, you know, Carpe and EQO were back up there too, but I left them out because people drafted them so high. Right. Really wanted to highlight the players that kind of overperformed their draft stock this week. So that's what we went with. It was a little harder to do that with tanks. I don't know why I'm loving this. We each take a category and run with it. We're probably going to do this forever, by the way. But for tanks, we have Poco number one overall in the combined format with a score of 253.78, which his best score was 130.66, good for fifth. So a very consistent week for Poco, putting up roughly the same number in both games. Then we had Note, again, a better performer in the combined format, 249.72 in his debut week with the Dallas Fuel, good for 138.26, and that was fourth in best. And then we had Fury. He was not first in combined. I don't know why I put that in the notes, but he had 150.49 in his one outing. That was the best single game tank performance of the week. So props to the off tanks, really doing what they do here. Mm-hmm. Blevins, we're going to talk about some feeders. There are a bit of a couple lighter lists. There's one player in each list here that breaks my heart, but why don't you talk to us about the supports?
Yeah, so we'll start with your heartbreaker here. That, of course, is Mr. Raucus. Only had 63.45 points. Really not the performance you would have liked out of him. Of course, they played against the Vancouver Titans, and we talked extensively on the flagship show about how close of a match that was, but it was not enough to really give Raucus much of a point boost whatsoever. We've also got Kaio here, who only had 86.06 points. Again, not really the performance that you are expecting out of these players here as they are making this feeder list.
Yeah, moving into the DPS category, we've got Shadowburn with 115.01 points in combined, 68.12 in best. Then the classic outlaw that must be on the feeders list this week is Dante, 69.92 in both combined and best. The way I kind of explain what happened with the Houston players this week is the match was close in the sense that Houston had a very good chance to win it based off of what happened, but all the maps were super, super short. Houston stomped on King of the Hill, and then they got stomped on Paris. They didn't even take point one, so you're not getting fantasy points there when you're, right, you're 4 minutes only and the other team just has one fight and takes the point. And even Eichenwald, they like held on point two. So like all the maps were severely shortened from what they would normally be. So even though Houston played really, really well, the fantasy output was atrocious. So hopefully you stayed away, which all signs pointed to staying away. One match, only a perceived super blowout against Vancouver. But yeah, so it was a rough go for the Outlaws. Dante was not immune to that. Who do we got for tanks here for
Yeah, also not immune to that. Like you said, Muma here, Again, in combined and in best, 57.67 points for Muma. Definitely a player who you'd expect to get more points, but again, really not a point-getting match against the Vancouver Titans. And the other here, you alluded to your dismay with your San Francisco Shock players from a fantasy perspective here. Choi Hyo-bin only putting up 92.03 points. Again, you said it on the flagship show. Really need San Francisco to just start losing just a hair more, make these matches a little bit closer.
Not even maps, just team fights. Like drop right. A couple team fights. Make it a sporting outing here. Stop just steamrolling these people. Choi, I put you at like fourth in my tank rankings before the season, and that's going to be wrong by virtue of you guys are too good, right? Like I didn't quite expect that to be the case.
Fourth in tank rankings from I'm drafting you onto my actual Overwatch League team, not my fantasy Overwatch League team.
Ranking off-tank players in the stage, fourth might be a little low, to be honest, for Troy. Right. But maybe not, probably pretty close to accurate. But fantasy production, it's not. He's playing too well, it's not there. But that wraps up the leaders and the feeders section. So I really like the pace of that when we alternate less. We're definitely doing
that. I mean, it also makes a lot of sense considering we have three hosts and three categories. I don't know why we didn't think of this before.
Even when we have two, it works because you have six total at the end and it's still an even distribution.
Of course, leave it to the time that we only have two people here to figure out that we can divide the very clearly groups of three things into one apiece.
Oh man! I was told there would be no math. I'm not taking.
I was going to say we're not doing a math podcast here. We're
doing... It is fantasy, though. So it's kind of a math podcast.
Also, we're both longtime Magic the Gathering players, so like math and game theory really should be. Regardless, we don't need to.
Are we splitting for prizes? What's going on here? Okay, so let's move on. Talk about some of the matchups this week again. If you want to know our specific thoughts on the individual matchups, who we think is going to beat who, check out the flagship show. We do that. Go through every single game and give you guys that. Yep. Here, however, we're just going to talk about which teams play twice, which teams play once, which teams don't play at all, and any matchups that we think are particularly likely to be blowouts or really, really close fantasy goldmine kind of matches. Mm-hmm. So let's start here with the list of who do we think or who plays twice this week. We've got the New York Excelsior, the Philadelphia Fusion, the San Francisco Shock, the Hangzhou Spark, the Guangzhou Charge, the Dallas Fuel, Florida Mayhem, Los Angeles Gladiators, Vancouver Titans, Atlanta Reign, Houston Outlaws, Boston Uprising, and the Shanghai Dragons all play twice. Mm-hmm. As far as once, we've got the Valiant, the Justice, the Spitfire, the Dynasty, the Hunters, and the Toronto Defiant. That means, Blevins, the Paris Eternal are on bye this week. They do not play. Finzi, Gray, Shadowburn can't Shadowburn you if he's not even scheduled to play at all. So,
well, he can if you accidentally play him.
Well, you're around this week, so hopefully that doesn't happen. But yes, so make sure your Paris Eternal players are out of your lineup. Blevins, talk to us about some potential five-map matches that we can see on the horizon here this week.
Yeah, we've got Houston-Philly here. We talked extensively about this match. I think you've got we kind of have opposing viewpoints here, but I think somewhere in between us leads to a really good five-mapper. Houston on the upswing, Philly a little bit on the downswing, but both able to definitely put up some good numbers here. Could definitely see a five mapper. By virtue of both of the teams being so horrifically bad, Valiant, LA Valiant and Washington Justice could also be a nice five mapper as well here. I mean, we've seen nothing short of unimpressive from both of these teams. I don't expect the if there is going to be something impressive, it's going to be coming from LA Valiant, who miraculously, despite their horrific record in stage one and even into stage two, are still putting up some of the best points in the league from a fantasy perspective. So definitely LA Valiant players are locked and loaded.
Stabilize your microphone. Something's going.
Nope. Okay. Oh, I was messing with it. That's why. Not even thinking of it. Yep. Regardless, LA Valiant players locked and loaded, ready to go. Maybe Washington Justice players get a little bit of extra oomph this week. And last one I'll talk about here is Seoul Dynasty versus Dallas Fuel. We talked again about it. It's I think it's a match where if Seoul actually has a strategy of a consistent strategy of playing their starters, it's going to be a good match against Dallas, who looks much better now, even after beating my precious Toronto Defiant 4-0. But they are definitely looking good here. And Seoul has shown flashes of greatness. It's just, can they capture it again? And if they can, it could be a really good match.
Just play Fleta in order to get better. So the other two I want to talk about here, kind of like the Valiant Washington, but like these two teams, instead of being so bad, they're just so mediocre that it could easily go all the way to five. We've got the Spark and the Charge. The Hangzhou Charge, of course, and the Guangzhou Spark. I kid because we make that mistake about 14 times a week, and mm-hmm. thankfully only like two of them a week are actually in front of a microphone. So, these teams are honestly kind of almost like fantasy gold to me this week. I really want to just scoop them up, play them mm-hmm. where I can. They're players that you kind of rotate into your lineup when they have heavy weeks in combined format. But I'm not afraid to play them in any format at all. They do both play twice this week as well. So I think they're great fantasy plays. I think you should really be going out of your way to include them, even if you have like a top tier player in combined that only plays once or something like that. Get these guys in there. They've got this five map potential in front of them with this matchup, and then they've got another one to maybe just kind of further bolster their numbers a little bit. And the other one I want to talk about is London versus Boston. Any match with Boston has a very realistic chance to go to five. Let's be perfectly honest. They're a competitive team. They play everybody well. They don't tend to just roll over, and they don't tend to just roll over anybody. So they're kind of the perfect fantasy opponent, even for a team like London, who looks pretty good in this meta. I've said that about them at times last stage and in the past, and they'll burn you. But right now they're hot, and I ride the hot hand, right? Just stay in the flames, as they like to say in the fantasy football world.
Yep.
Don't get away from them while they're doing so well. Also, I think Bird Ring is very possibly available on waiver wires, and I think they're not going back to guard in this meta. So I think you should really be scooping up Bird Ring. He had a great performance this past week. So I think look to this match to be a good one for unlimited and just for fantasy points in general. I think you can do a lot worse than picking London and Boston players this week.
Sure.
Blevins, give me two of the potential oofs, the matchups that we just don't want to have any part of.
Yep. This one is one I absolutely do not want to have any part of for every reason. That is Toronto Defiant versus San Francisco Shock. I hate to do it, but it's undeniable. San Francisco Shock looking like a solidly top-tier team. They're, to use kind of the Smash Bros. Tier system, they are solid tier A and pushing very fast into that S tier, along with Vancouver Titans and New York Excelsior, into the upper echelon, the cream of the crop, if you will. And Toronto, again, talked about it on the flagship, but they're not adjusting to the meta as well. They've got roster, not issues, but questions that they haven't quite answered yet, and exactly fluctuations, and are just a little bit in a slump right now. Not saying that it can't be fixed, but it's not fixed right now, and it would be it would be nothing short of a miracle to fix it against a team like San Francisco Shock. So with all that being said, even though Toronto players have traditionally been quite good, I am not buying into a Toronto Defiant player this week, with San Francisco being their only match. The other one that can definitely be an oof is New York Excelsior versus Atlanta Reign. Not much different to say here. New York is that S tier, that cream of the crop, top of the barrel here. Atlanta, without their aforementioned unmentionable player that is no longer on their roster, not quite the same level. Baby Bay has been putting up numbers and was definitely a leader this week. In the same vein as Toronto, New York is not the team that you write the ship with, much like San Francisco is not a team that you write the ship with, at least not at this point in the season.
So I'm the commissioner in the league that you beat me in. which means I can take away points from you for even tangentially mentioning him and bringing him up. So,
but I never said the name. Eight points sounds fair.
8 points sounds fair. What do you think, Blevins?
We'll no, I was talking about him for a different league, though.
I already messaged Soldier. I can't talk your way out of it. We're gonna try. We're gonna try.
Well, can you get me premium while you're talking to him? Considering I should actually have it.
Well, I will help you get better stats and metrics.
Okay, it's just definitely the minute my fault.
We don't play against each other anymore this season.
I don't think we're playing again this week. Maybe I actually
not this week.
But there's a chance that season, we are in the other league.
Season,
I don't know.
All season. All right, so moving on, we've got a couple more to talk about. Vancouver versus Boston. This is the one I'm the least confident is going to be an oof. I talked about how Boston can play anybody tough, go deep with anybody, but this is Vancouver we're talking about. Yep. And I don't know that Boston has the DPS firepower to even like steal Koth, which is going to make it really tough for them. They're going to put up a fight. It's going to be a decent match, but I think Vancouver's got what it takes to have a serious shot to pull off the 4-0 here. Moving into the next one, we've got San Francisco. Yeah, they're bullies right now. Stop it, please, because I own Choi Hyobin in way too many places. But they go up against the Hangzhou Spark as well as Toronto this week. Neither of those should be difficult matches. I expect San Francisco to cruise smoothly. San Francisco players are fine for combined, but if you've got better options and best, you might want to start looking at them. It's been a rough go. And as we said, just another reminder, since we're moving through this episode at a remarkably fast pace, don't play your Paris Eternal players this week. They are definitely out.
So. Unless you really want to flex on your opponent and you're sure you're going to win, can put them in just for BM.
That's not a potential oof. That's a guaranteed.
That is a guaranteed. That is a Blevin seal of oof.
Yes. All right, now let's talk about some sleepers for the week, Blevins. Help people decide on some bottom-end roster choices, maybe yes. People they need to go pick up out off of waivers. But I want to look specifically at the support category first. We're resetting our little mini game here since it was me versus A. Smith last week, and now he's not here because baby, and we've got Blevins back. So
I wasn't listen, here last I, week because I am was, a baby.
Yes, not the reason. I don't want to make light of your reason, but we'll just.
That's why I did.
It. Yes, you can make light of it all you want, but yeah. So, in the support category, these aren't necessarily players that are going to be available, but they're kind of bottom tier. We got a little sick of just picking Lucio players for you guys every week, so we want to call our shots on some flex supports that we think have a good chance to be up in the top half of the score sheet among other supports. So for me, I'm going with Ruckus. The Outlaws have two very winnable games this week. I have them favored in both of them, but obviously the Fusion game could be very, very close, and I don't think in a vacuum, they're light years above Shanghai. Mm-hmm. So I think they've got two matchups that have that map 5 potential, even if not, I'm not counting on it or betting on it. Certainly could happen. And either way, I don't think either of those teams are going to roll over. We're going to be looking at competitive maps, competitive games, and that's going to mean stats. So with two cracks at it, I think Ruckus has a really good chance to have a very strong best game performance this week. Blevins, who do you got?
Yeah, a lot of the same reasons you pick Ruckus. I'm going with Hagopin here for the Florida Mayhem. I think the main reason here is that there's a really good chance that he's available. I mean, there's not a lot of stock in Florida Mayhem players right now, so you might be able to actually call a shot here. If you need a wild card, go for it. They're playing against the LA Gladiators and the Shanghai Dragons. I personally have predicted them to get the upset win over Shanghai Dragons. It's probably much more me being delusional and really craving that punishment for picking Florida Mayhem to win, but on a serious note, even if the Shanghai Dragons match isn't necessarily a victory for Florida Mayhem, of course, in fantasy, we don't need the team to win. We need the players. We need the games to be close. We need the players to score points, which I think is a definite good possibility in Shanghai or in the Shanghai match. Maybe not as much in the LA Gladiators match, but if it's even remotely close, you can still get some points, which makes him potentially quite a good pick for best format, where I think he's going to have, where I think he has a lot of potential to have a really good one game against Shanghai Dragons. And then of course is going to be just gravy getting any extra points in the LA Gladiators match. If you want, if you can play him over a team that's only playing once, for sure.
Yeah, so moving on, let's talk about some tanks here. Blevins, you're going to go first this time around. Who do you got?
I got big boy, big Chungus himself, Hotba here. I'm all in on Guangzhou here. I actually forgot to, but I was going to mention the other Guangzhou match as a potential five mapper. They are playing against Atlanta in the other match. So again, two middle to bottom table teams, or maybe at the very least near the middle of the table teams here. Guangzhou is playing against Hangzhou and Atlanta. So two very winnable matches, two potential five mappers, if not definitely one. I mean, give me an off tank that's going to be playing on two potential five map games. Give me that all day.
Okay, so I'll give you Cool Matt then. That's my pick. I'm sticking with the Houston theme. I don't even need to be right about thinking they're going to win this week. I just need to be right about the games being competitive, mm-hmm. the games being close. So I know I get the Homer brand thrown at me a lot. That's not the case here. I think Cool Matt's numbers would surprise a lot of people. He is a top five tank player among, as far as damage dealt is concerned. That includes main tanks, that includes off tanks. The people that are beating him are Late Young, Super, Bumper, and Spree is one of them. So Spree's not going to be in there. Cool Matt is, if the last match is any indication. It should be Cool Matt's job once again. He's also pretty high up there on the limbs. They took a hit this past week, as you can imagine, because it was a rough match for him. But he's still ahead of Mono and RCK and Space and Poco and Eliminations. And these are all guys that perform very, very well for you in fantasy. So I don't have any concerns rolling him out there now that I know his playtime is secured and the matchups are right. He even somehow manages one healing per 10. I don't know how that's possible, but the stats on the website don't lie. But yeah, so I think he's a really solid play. He's always been, you know, maybe not your top tier off tank player in fantasy. He has more of a defensive style, but I think he's been underrated this season in what he's been able to do when he's gotten the chance to play on the stage. Mm-hmm. And now that it's a meta that suits him better, and there's less Zarya and more, just more constant D.Va play with the Winston Goat style being a little more prevalent, I think it's going to suit him very well. Guys, we skipped over the waiver wire pickup section. We're going to be talking about one in the mailbag. Another one here is Arhan, though. Pick that man up. He's going to be playing, and Houston is one of the key teams in the Texas homestand week or this stage. So yep. Even if you don't like him, he's going to be phenomenally invaluable if he's playing Brig for eight maps in that week. So make sure he's not available. Yeah. Levins, who do you got for? No, I'm up for DPS now here. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, I think the biggest downplay to Cool Matt in stage one was just playtime considerations. He wasn't getting the playtime, but even
one map or something.
Yeah, even last year when he was locked and loaded on the actual roster, like he was a perfectly serviceable pick in season one.
His style keeps him from being at the top of the charts very often, but he certainly has his weeks and his performances. So if we can get a couple extra maps out of him, he's got a chance to be like a top five off tank this weekend. Mm-hmm. So. Moving on, let's talk about DPS players. I'm going to go with Baby Bay here. Statistically and fantasy points-wise, he had a very good week last week. He was in the top 10, I want to say, of DPS players, probably maybe five. I don't know. It would have been close. But it's notable because he's new with the team.
Ninth and fourth.
Ninth and fourth. Gotcha. Oh, was he on our list up
there?
Oh, what do you know? All right. So, yeah, I'm going with a player that's coming off a hot streak. Ride the hot hand. Stay in the flames. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I think he's a solid automatic inclusion. The team has a lot of question marks, a lot of issues right now. I'm expecting Dako to be back for them, which will hopefully stabilize things a little bit. and they have matchups against New York, which is probably a yikes, but I'm targeting that Guangzhou matchup for Atlanta. I think we're going to be able to get some good fantasy points out of those guys there. Levins, who do you got to
Yeah, I mean, you set me up for a great transition here, because, of course, I'm also targeting that Guangzhou versus Atlanta match, and I even have the drop for it. Give me Eileen here. I've actually had Eileen on my roster for quite some time now. For better or worse, I actually picked him up as kind of a desperation DPS pick. He's been fine. I think he only had like 90 points last week, which was not great. But as a technically my DPS 3, because I've been captaining a DPS and having two DPS, he's been perfectly serviceable. I think this week is the week that having Eileen is really going to pay off. I already talked at length when I mentioned Hotba, but I think Eileen really, if there's a waiver wire Eileen, I'm picking him up at the very least for a 1 week flip, basically. Play him this week for sure. Have that open spot, pick up that Arhan, although I would say pick him up this week, but pick up that errant Houston Outlaws player that might be getting you huge maps in the bonus weekend or the homecoming weekend. Get a Dallas Fuel player that might be getting you massive bonus points on that homecoming weekend, but get your points now with Eileen and other Guangzhou charge players this week.
Points, get your points here, Houston and Guangzhou. Get your points here. So that's going to wrap up the sleepers of the week. We've made it very clear two teams you can target and start with confidence that we think are going to be big fantasy point getters as well. If you do have any specific questions as we go into the mailbag, it is a light mailbag this week with one question. We have our Discord, discord.me/highnoonpodcast. There's a fantasy mailbag channel in there. Drop your questions. We'll put them in the show notes. We'll answer them here. Any questions we do not answer on the air, we answer in the chat. So we have 100% response rate on all questions. Don't, check me up on that. Don't check up on that or anything. But it's pretty close, okay?
If we didn't answer it, there was a specific reason we didn't. Either the show was already done or it wasn't relevant. Or even if it wasn't relevant.
Busy at work and I forgot to get back to it. And so just tag us. We're never going to be mad.
Inappropriate.
We'll never be mad about being tagged for a fantasy question or anything like that. So you guys have our permission to tag us as long as you have a legitimate fantasy question. But let's talk about the one question we do have here, Blevins. This comes from Ramses number one on Twitter. That is one of the hosts of Owl by the Numbers. So shout outs over to those guys, part of the expert leagues that we're doing here as well. These guys are good friends of ours. So he wants to know, is KSF worth a pickup? Blevins, I want your answer before I give mine.
Okay, so this is without me being able to see the stats for what he's done, if anything, in the past few weeks, which is what I generally base a lot of my answers on. But with that being said, he does play for the anomaly of a team known as the LA Valiant, who are, for whatever reason, just the cash cows of points, regardless of how they perform.
I'll give you his last week numbers. 270.91 in combined and 140.5 in best. That is, I don't have to scroll down. I can see the number one on the list. I'm not counting. It's a top 5 to 10, top 10, I think, damage.
Okay.
Damage point.
So then my question becomes, I'm answering a question with a question. Why are we talking about this? Is it playtime? Is it... are we just not sure if KSF is playing? I'm legitimately asking this.
He's new. He's not a very well thought of player. He plays in a very bad team. We can't be 100% certain on playtime because it's only a couple weeks in and they've done a little experimenting with it.
Sure.
But
so then my answer becomes this. He's your classic high upside, potentially high downside pick. So, don't replace your lock and loaded guaranteed starters that are going to get you, 120, $120 in single game type of players. Like, don't replace your your backbone of your team. However, if you've got a flex spot, and by flex I mean a spot that you're not 100% sure, like your captain spot, for instance, throw them in. If you think you've got a match that you are unfavored in, throw him in. Maybe he spikes you and gets you a win. Maybe he's worth more than a player like Aid's not a good example, but a player who's going to get you like 90, 75 to 90 player. I'm going to leave that one there. That joke wrote itself. I'm not replace a lower end player. Don't replace like a even like a solid mid tier player that's going to get you like 100 plus points, because if you need those points, I'm saying this in a roundabout way. If your team is solidly favored, I don't think I would throw that sort of variance into it. If you're behind, maybe I would.
Let me clear it up, because I think you're answering more than was asked. And it's, is he worth a pickup? And the answer is an unequivocal yes from you. We're not even talking about starting him and playing him. We're just talking about should he be added to the roster. But I wanted to let you kind of talk about whether or not you should play him, because I think that's a valuable question as well. I just want to say, first and foremost, I'm furious that you learned your lesson. Right, because this is agilities all over again. This is season 2 agilities.
Even the same team.
Same team. Everything position. About it. This screams the conversation we had with agilities last season. And at that time, listen, am I high on KSF? Do I think KSF is a world beater? Do I think he's going to be really good? Do I think he's necessarily should be starting for this team? Probably no to all of those questions, but he is starting for this team, and that's all I need to know. I don't even need to like him. I don't need to think he's going to be a fantasy success. If he's playing the vast majority of maps, he is worth owning and picking up and considering playing based off of matchups. This is the exact conversation we had with agilities. You guys laughed at the prospect of keeping agilities on your team. He went on. Now he's like a top 5 DPS player this season. The team's bad, like all these things. So you gotta in fantasy. Listen, I have strong negative opinions about like 3/4 of the NFL, and I still do well in fantasy, because even though I hate somebody, I hate their opportunity or whatever it is, they have an opportunity. They are seeing the field, and I'm wrong plenty often enough to know that like the opportunity matters more than the player, the skill, my opinion. And right now KSF has a golden opportunity to carve out a role on this team, a spot on the roster, to help them be part of the rebound. And they've done well all season from a fantasy perspective outside of a couple of weeks. So yes, you KSF has to be owned in all leagues. And as Blevins was saying, you don't want to like start benching Carpe for him, but you need to start considering how to play this guy, because if he's playing, he's valuable.
One thing I will say in response to the agilities debacle last year is that I have learned my lesson. And you know how I learned that lesson? By listening to Foul Play every week. We've turned a zero into a hero in just one season. Here I am now. I've learned my lesson. Just saying.
And if you want to go the full Blevins route to learn the lesson, join the Discord and let me know your terrible takes about a player. And then when it blows up in your face, I'll make fun of you for it as often as I've made fun of the Blevins and A. Smith for the agilities take. And I think that will really help drive it home.
That's true.
So now, Blevins, we're going to be going on to... Yes, of course, it is time to remember the bell, man.
That was timed perfectly, by the way.
I know that drop as well as I know any drop. I saw you hit the button. We're going to be good at this, me not actually streaming, but yet still hosting. I can feel it. We've made many improvements to the show today, and all we had to do was kick A. Smith off the stage in order to do it. But hopefully we can carry over those improvements when he gets back. But I wrote this question today, so maybe we can forget the bellman.
Remember the death blow.
it's Overwatch League week 3. But it's Game of Thrones week one, and we're super excited about it. Blevins came over, watched the first episode last week, and this is a spoiler-free show. We are very adamantly in favor of never spoiling anything. If it's two seasons old, it's fair game. That's basically my rule. I'm not even trying to spoil last season on you or anything
like
that.
Yeah, yeah. Two seasons is the statute of limitations.
There are four characters in the Game of Thrones universe called Westeros that I tasked you, Blevins, and myself to find Overwatch League analogs for them. So we're casting Overwatch personalities into Westeros, and we need to name a Jon Snow, a Daenerys Targaryen, a Cersei Lannister, and in order to break any potential ties, we were tasked to name a Podrick Payne. Okay. So I don't know the best way to alternate and go about this, but we know each other's answers.
Yes.
And I think I should do Jon Snow second. So why don't you start with your Jon Snow and why?
Okay. I've got my Jon Snow. This might have actually been the first one that I thought of, for better or worse. I don't know if it's my best answer, but I think it was the first one that came to my mind. That's going to be Jake for Jon Snow. I mean, a lot of things point towards, you know, Jake being the protagonist of Overwatch League. He's the pretty boy that people like.
He's got the leading man face.
He's got the leading man face. He's elite. He's a natural born leader. I'm trying to make sure I'm making analogs that aren't actually spoilers. He's got a lot of Jon Snow-esque qualities. He rises to the task in a lot of ways. He's a man of many talents, having been a player, of course, as well as a caster at different times. He's very well spoken and adored and liked by many. So I thought it's a pretty solid Jon Snow pick. That's, of course, Jake from the Houston Outlaws.
I think Jake from State Farm might have been a better pick.
Oh, but, come on!
You were going to tell me the King in the North is from Houston? The Prince who was promised was here last year? Get out of my face! Not even the best Jon Snow choice on the Houston Outlaws.
Who would have been better on the Houston Outlaws?
Dante. But...
come on, bro.
Come on, bro. I have the best Jon Snow.
Yeah, you do. I, when you put it down, it was over. I needed to just pick a second place.
All the boxes, yeah. Okay? Jon Snow in Overwatch League is I am 37, okay? He has the face, the personality to be that, like the interview put him there, right? What happened last season? Earmuffs if you're worried about it, because I'm not 100% sure on the timeline of this. Jon Snow went from the Bastard of Winterfell to the King in the North so fast, you'd think he was in open division a month ago and just signed an Overwatch League contract. The King of the North should be from Toronto, Blevins. And that's the Prince that was promised has arrived to save the Toronto Defiant season and take them to victory by the end of the season. So I am 37. Congratulations, you're Jon Snow.
I'm just straight up conceding that one because that is the correct answer.
It is correct. When I thought of it, I'm like, yep, that's it. We got there.
Yep.
Figured that one out. But now, Blevins, I think we both got a solid case for Daenerys Targaryen.
Yeah.
But I think, and this is why I think this is such a fun exercise, because who you pick for these depends so much on your perspective, who you're rooting for in Overwatch League, who you're rooting for in Game of Thrones even comes into play, right? Like, who's the good guy in each story matters so much. So to me, the savior that's come to Westeros to fix everything and to help my team win this season is Dante. He's not the best Jon Snow analog, but that's because the correct Jon Snow's been decided.
Yeah.
But Dante is a good guy. he's a good character, and I just think he fits that role for me personally and the way I view Overwatch League better than anybody else. I wish he played Hanzo so that he had a couple dragons in his back pocket. You know what I mean? Just something that he could use to carry it a little bit more. But I don't think your choice doesn't play Hanzo either. So I think we're okay there.
Yeah.
But I think we chose our players for very similar reasons. Kind of showed up on the team, made a marked improvement on the roster, helped them kind of well, at least mine is a theoretical elevation, but then again, Daenerys hasn't really won anything yet. So, Blevins, who do you got for your Daenerys?
Mine is, if you ask anyone in Overwatch League, who, if you needed to show and embody power and invoke fear into an enemy team, who are you going to pick?
Fraggy.
No, he doesn't even play. If we're picking Tormunds, then obviously Fraggy's.
That's because he strikes fear in the heart of his own team, Blevins, yeah, and they won't play him.
Hashtag put in Fraggy, please. But no, who is the scariest player in the Overwatch League? Jonak, obviously, comes in. He is the dragon incarnate. I don't care that he doesn't play. He doesn't play Hanzo. He's got power. He's killing. He's the strongest person there. He is three dragons. It doesn't matter, okay? He is going to click heads like the best of them. He is the season one MVP. He is the powerhouse going into season two, and he's still, to this very day, lead. He is changing the world with his own stats. He changed the percentages and the stats of Zenyatta's in the league with his stats in and of themselves. There's no other character in Game of Thrones that I know of that would do that other than Daenerys, and that's Jonak. There's my analog for you.
I'll concede Jonak because I'm mad I didn't pick Lynxer for Daenerys because he even has the pale complexion, the white blonde hair. He's got the firepower angle you were talking about. I didn't even pick the right guy on my own team.
Lynxer so would have at least been a fighting shot.
It would have been better. I was a little. That was the one I was not super convinced of my own for. So I will concede Jonak to you, though I think there's better choices out there, and we want to hear from you. Tell us on Twitter who the Daenerys Targaryen of Overwatch League is for you. Yes. Fill out your whole roster and send them to us, because yes, I could talk about both Overwatch League and Game of Thrones until I literally fall asleep in the middle of the conversation. Yes. I can't think of better things to have tweeted at us than that. Moving on, though, we've got Cersei Lannisters to pick. I think this one's going to be pretty close, Blevins, yeah. So why don't we start with you? Give us your Cersei.
Well, I wanted to pick... So I was trying to think, like, who is kind of the... I don't really think there's necessarily an antagonist in Overwatch League, at least not yet. Okay, well... So I'm thinking, who's kind of a heel? Who's kind of, in some ways, the bad guy in Overwatch League? And I'm thinking, who talks a lot of smack? Dogman, of course. Gotta be Dogman. Is a power player. Talking smack is kind of the heel. After he gets the bowl cut, may actually have the same haircut as Cersei Lannister. And I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's necessarily as strong as some of the other is some of the other picks. But if I'm thinking of heels or theoretical bad guys in Overwatch League to compute or to connect to Cersei, I'm going with Dogman.
I hate it, and I also audibled my pick, and I think I definitely won.
No, you're right. You're right.
Cersei is evil incarnate, okay? Cersei will kill anyone at the drop of a hat. You leave the room, you're dead to Cersei. You're gone. She will send you to the north to do whatever you need to do. I almost spoiled something, and I'm so glad I caught it. She will ship you off. She's dead to you. Get out of here. That means it's Boston Uprising. All I had to say was Cersei was evil incarnate, and it had to be somebody from Boston. And since Robert Kraft doesn't pay any attention to Overwatch League, he cloned Bill Belichick and took the brain out and put it in Huck and just kept the Overwatch League parts and, like, you know, and literally the mountained this guy together with, you know, Qyburn and Robert Kraft got together and created Huck in a lab. I'm convinced of it. And yes, the evil incarnate of Overwatch League is absolutely Huck. They're not trying to win Overwatch League. They're just trying to make money off of Overwatch League. The Lannisters love money. This fits on way too many levels and gets way closer than Dogman does.
Well,
because we love Dogman, Blevins.
I'm not the I'm
Blevins is taking away his high noon bump, but I love you,
be,
dog man.
I may be more of a Lannister fan than you are, then. I was comparing my I was comparing my pick to your previous pick, which I didn't think had very many legs, but when I saw you audible, it was it's over. That's just true.
You lost. Yeah. Going second was such a the extra card of playing on the draw was just too good.
Yeah.
All right, so now we have the Podrick Payne. I have two choices here, okay? And I've got two different reasons for it, right? And I'm going to give both of them, and I'll give both of the reasons. And the first one is the Blevins, is the Podrick Payne of Overwatch League, right? Just kind of there. Doesn't really serve much of a purpose, but talks a lot and is pretty entertaining at times when he does.
True.
But maybe not in the way he wants to be entertaining when he talks, but is without a doubt entertaining. The other one is RCK, because much like Podrick, doesn't really actually do anything in his role, just kind of like exists and accidentally stands out a little bit when you like put him in a role where like, oh no, Tyrion's about to die. Quick, we need something. Play Sombra, please. And like EMP, you know, this saves the whole team, right? That is like the player analog to Podrick Payne. And like Podrick, even in the part of you being Podrick Payne that I didn't bring up, Blevins, loyal to a fault. I picked you as Podrick Payne when you picked the Florida Mayhem to win a match. He just left. I was his squire and he left me. That's you talking about bare hands. You're Podrick Payne. Bare hands is Tyrion. Game, set, match. I gave two answers to cheat, but also I lose because pictures speak louder than words.
Yeah. This one's going to be Payne. It's going to be tough to really portray, because I found the perfect pictures to portray what I'm going for here. But my Podrick is simply Mr. Logix, and for no other reason than they look a lot alike. It is uncanny. You know, I found two really great pictures. Maybe we'll tweet them out at some point, combined in a tweet and tag Mr. Logix. They just look similar. That's it. That's the extent of it. But I think a picture is worth a thousand words, and I think two pictures here is worth a win.
Right? Because like he was on the he was out there, but you like always forgot about him until he was right in front of your face, and then you're like, oh, why is Saya player on the bench? But oh, it doesn't matter, Pod's popping off over here. Yep. So yep. I think it would have worked better last year.
Yeah,
but again, the pictures speak louder than words. So guys, let us know who you think has the better Overwatch League Westeros Game of Thrones cast lineup here. Let us know what your lineup is, who your four are. Again, it's yes. Jon Snow, Daenerys Targaryen, Cersei Lannister, Podrick Payne. Had so much fun
yes.
thinking about that in like the 10 minutes we decided to do it in the pre-show. Yep. And it evolved as we were doing it. I mean, we were changing picks, what was going on. It is a way too fun of an exercise, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm mad A. Smith wasn't here to have terrible Game of Thrones takes that we could have torn him to shreds for.
I don't even know if he watches Game of Thrones.
That would be just the worst take of them all, wouldn't it, Blaine?
True.
There's two kinds of people in this world, people that watch Game of Thrones and people that are wrong, and I firmly believe that to be true. Also my parents, who I do not want to watch Game of Thrones. I think that's the correct play. So, otherwise. Yes, hopefully we didn't spoil anything for you guys. If we did, admonish us in the Discord. We'll be more careful next time.
I don't think
it's going to be coming up. If you hear anything Game of Thrones related, just earmuffs it, because we're very excited, and we know I would be furious if anybody got me with a spoiler. So we're doing everything we can to protect you guys, but there is a statute of limitations, and it's too fun not to talk about it when it's topical. It's been 84 years since the last episode of Game of Thrones, and it's back.
Oh my.
Boy, any parting words here before we end the episode? On that note, we will move right along here. So for A. Smith, who's not here, you can find him on Twitter. He is at @asmith_ow. You can find my illustrious co-host, the Blevins, I had it all ready to go, and then I lost it. It is at
the underscore Blevins
on Twitter, and you can find me at HNP Death Blow. Also, you can follow the show at HNP underscore Foul Play, and you can follow the main podcast Twitter as well at High Noon Podcast. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Hopefully, we've adequately prepared you for week three and also fulfilled the meme quota that this show requires. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you guys next week. Got his boots and he put on his hat. Threw the coin away that same day. It's in his past and he's not looking back. He says, finding mine now, God's my way. He's not good, but he sure ain't bad. He'll make amends for the sins that he has. He says, I'll change the world.